At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
You're listening to the Screw Podcast with Felicia Rose and A-Love. They're here to make you come on a journey with them as they indulge you in all of your naughtiest thoughts while navigating sex with nonchalance. And a whole lot of Crisco, of course.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of The Screw, where we continue our conversation with Master Joshua. I hope you enjoy. Here we go.
One of the other reasons that, like, I wanted to have this discussion, especially with you, is you kind of operate in this area that would be considered, like, very typical, like, masculinity. We're on Instagram with painted nails now and, like, in lovely dresses, and definitely curious about what that experience is like for you. Like, kind of very different worlds in being a professional dom at the same time.
So it started off when I was a kid.
Okay.
And pantyhose and high heels.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that was a symbol of power. You know, I've always wanted to wear it, but because of culture and insecurities and just fear, I never opened the door.
Okay.
Because you just can't until you're ready to. A couple months ago, I have a friend who does hair and makeup, and I started speaking with him about the desire to do it.
Mm-hmm.
To not dress, but to feel myself expressing the feminine aspect of who I am and what I perceive that to be.
Okay.
So he was super excited. And there was a really good friend of mine who's a drag performer who we've spoken about gender identity and expression and how he feels when he's dressed in his drag persona.
Yeah.
And what that does for him. And he brought up a lot of similarities with me, you know, empowerment, strength, goddess.
Mm-hmm.
He says that a mentor of his told him that there's a diva or a goddess in everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just have to be comfortable expressing it.
Right.
Through my time in the lifestyle and seeing all types of people, meeting all types of people, I saw a Katy Couric special that spoke about gender identity. I forget the name of it.
I know, but which one you're referencing. I did not see it.
And I thought it was fantastic. It solidified a lot of my perspective on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it also changed my mind on some of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me just different views on it.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of doing this wasn't to dress up as a woman.
Okay.
The idea of it was to dress as myself in a feminine headspace.
Okay.
Expression.
Yeah.
So I was speaking with Phil, Shirley, you just, Shirley, I love you, about it. And he asked me, he goes, who's your inner diva? Now, as I seem or as I'm presented, I'm very masculine. And I've been this way as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
So culturally, things I've been into a lot, very masculine. So when he brought to me, who's your inner diva? I've never had reference to that because I was never into that type of energy. So
what do you mean by that?
Over the top, having to be needing your character to be so loud that it defines who you are.
Okay.
So,
like kind of the idea of like camping it up or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The old school terminology.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
So, he sends me a clip, and I'm going to show you the clip, and then I'll speak. I'll say what the clip is
nice.
About. And when I saw it, it made perfect sense because growing up in the 80s, I was watching a lot of TV, and there's a video of Bugs Bunny coming up dressed, cross-dressed.
Like a librarian or secretary or something.
But he's very proper.
Yep.
He's very tall.
Yeah.
And he captivates Elmer Fudd. Gone.
Yeah.
Total loss of any function besides...
With like a lustful look, right?
Drawn to him. Yeah. So...
Cartoons are creepy sometimes, right?
So, to me, that's what... And that's what a feminine energy does.
Okay.
It vacuums all the everything, and it presents very powerful.
Okay.
Because if you can walk into a room and everything stops, that's like, that's such a raw power, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've only seen one man, I've only come across one male figure who's done that, and it was Mayor Bloomberg. He's my height. He walked into that room, I stood up. Like, I was like, he commands such a presence. No one ever, I've ever seen another male do that. Ever. And I've been around a lot of high-profile people.
That's power for you, right?
But that's like, his output was that. And it wasn't like, he wasn't an asshole. He just walked straight. Head back, shoulders back, head up with confidence. That was all it was. But women do it so much more regularly when they feel that confidence. It's if you look, you can find it a lot more regularly than men, and it's power. It's
you
so
think
beautiful.
So.
Oh my!
I wonder if women would agree with you.
Now I'm not saying it's a lot of women, but in the ratio, when there's a power woman,
I'm not saying women aren't powerful. That's
no,
not
no,
what
no,
I meant
no.
by the comment.
No, I don't know. Absolutely. But
you know,
to visually
women
see
are
it,
undergoing a lot of outside influences, usually from men, that like force their power on them to diminish that power. So
yeah,
that's a constant like.
That's something they have. It's on
outward,
all the time,
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I had. So if you mean that, then absolutely.
No,
like,
but
the ability to deflect that is like way powerful.
So. That was my reference now.
Yeah.
Now I understood what it was about the feminine expression that was so captivating. It was being able to stop everything just on confidence.
Nice. Well, you definitely seemed very confident within that energy. Did you feel that way?
No.
No. Okay. What did you feel?
Not at first.
Not at first.
So now I have a game plan on what I'm going to do. I'm going to shop. And I'm going to shop for clothes.
Yeah.
Not for clothes to dress up for that evening, but clothes that I'm going to wear.
Okay.
More than once. That I'm going to wear whenever I want to wear it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the plan. So I go to a friend's house, Teresa, and her and I wear the same shoe size. She pulls out a box of shoes and she says, I have some shoes I want you to try.
Lucky, that never happens for me.
And they were the pistol shoes. They had a pistol heel. I'll show you.
Nice.
I'll show you. When I put them on, it clicked immediately. I knew what it was. I knew how I had to stand. I knew how...
You knew what that essence was?
I knew what it was. And it washed over me. I did a few paces, maybe about 10 yards each way. And
a few catwalk paces.
And I was walking in them. And it was amazing.
Have you walked in? No. How was it on the ankles? This is my question to everybody always. I haven't been in heels since I was like 17, 18 years old. So I have my knowledge is.
It wasn't the ankles.
Okay. Holy crap, those are awesome! Yeah, those are really cool. Those are awesome, but they definitely don't look comfortable.
It wasn't the ankle, more so
shins?
The shins.
Ah, yes. The shins, that makes sense.
But getting the walk-in came out very natural, allowing my body to fall into that posture I needed to.
Okay.
Was what needed to happen.
Okay.
So once I put the shoes on, I immediately knew what I needed to wear. I knew the image.
Yeah.
I knew what I needed to wear. I knew what I felt. I started seeing what I would look like.
Got it.
So we went to Rainbow and some other shop, and I walked in and I looked at the clothes and it was like, this is not it.
Okay.
It's not the
look. You weren't feeling it.
I wasn't feeling it. So more time went by. I went back downtown and I unpacked the shoes, and then I decided I wanted to go to H&M.
Okay. Class it up a little bit.
A little bit. And and see if I could find something there. And
yeah.
I ended up finding a top.
Okay.
And I decided to wear leather pants, being that they would look well with the outfit.
Okay.
And I could pull them off with the heels. I'm going to show you a picture.
Okay.
And I don't have to shave my legs.
Right. Which is definitely like something.
I also don't want to wear a dress or a skirt until I'm walking more fluidly in the heels. When I do right. it, I want to do it well.
Right.
I don't want to not be able to.
You want to work your legs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, I feel you.
So,
that's why I opt for the barefoot and pregnant look myself. So can I ask you something while you're looking for that?
Please.
So, one of the things, and I'm going to like have a full disclosure moment right now.
Please.
Just because you're here and like you move me to do so every time I see you. So I've been really like, I think about gender all the time. And I have for a long time. I've always thought about it. I've always had heavy... I always say that I was raised by an angry pack of lesbians. And, like, they were beautiful people. But they, like, encompassed an energy that had nothing to do with gender. It had everything to do with, like, freedom and independence. And, like, not refusing to let people see them through a lens of gender. Like, you know, this is something, like, Felicia and I always have to, like, combat. Like, you know, it's always the game of, that was pretty good for a girl, or this was wonderful for women,
yeah.
or whatever. And, like, missing the idea of what, like, true equality means is, like, not using those filters anymore. Not being, like, it being a contest. Can women achieve this? Like, women are already achieving in this, and this isn't a discussion. Of course they can. Like, you know... This is dumb, right? This is the idea of all these gender constructs playing around. So for me, like, I know and I feel that a lot of ways that, like, we react as men to other people, to other men, is a lot about, like, our very engendered upbringing, whether it be from our parents, the media, everything around us. And I grew up in a strong... matriarchal household, if ever there was one. So I definitely like benefited from that a little bit, but like you can't stop the outside social yeah. influences of the world. And you know, I more recently have just I struggle because, you know, I have lots of political views, right? And so when I think about a lot of our ideas around gender, to me these are a lot of very like capitalist constructs of gender, right? Like, these are, like, the dresses, the makeup, the idea of what society thinks it means to be a female, right? And I've been in dresses many times. I've worn makeup. I like the way I feel and embody in that. But for my, like, when I think of soul identity, what I want to get close to is an idea of, like, gender neutrality. And I know, mm-hmm. like... For some people, that's probably non-binary, I guess, you know, like, you know, these terms are, like, become very subjective even amongst the communities
yeah,
that, like,
yeah.
use them. And trans identity is really complicated for me because, like, when I think of the term trans, yeah, I would like to kind of transcend ideas of, like, gender identity is what I would like to transcend. Like,
yeah.
I would like to come to a place where, like, I was saying this to one of... my friend, who is like a queer man who very much understands and feels this and seems to embody it really well, that like I no wonder, like, I attach the idea that like a penis is, I'm a male because of a penis.
It's medical and scientific.
All of this stuff, right? Because these are different things, and right? Like, if I want to encompass all things that I
are, that you are, that you, that's
right,
that you are.
That I am.
And that's exactly where I'm
right,
at.
Right.
That's where nice. I've, because of this, I'm going to show you the picture.
Yeah,
real quick.
Please. So, I didn't mean to go on a rant.
No.
I was just like,
and that's exactly
that's my interjection for myself only.
That's exactly where I am. I don't have, all right, so I don't have a, I thought I had a better picture.
I really like the pants.
they're very tight and they're nice. Very low rise.
Yeah.
So they can, they're not, they're almost unisex. They are, they're genderless pants.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah,
and
I like
the
that.
The top with the vest.
Is that like lace around
it's a
the
lace,
neck?
Yeah, it's a lace top.
Nice.
And I had a bra and I had the padding for it as well, because I love the feel of it. I love the way it postured. It felt like a harness.
Yeah.
And so
that feels good against your nipples.
I love
too.
How it feels.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there, and the gentleman that I've been working with on photography wanted to capture this, and some of those pictures I put up on Instagram, and I'll share them with you.
Nice.
And he wanted to capture this because he's only known me as a professional dominant.
Right.
Now he's seeing a part of me that's me, you know,
right.
Joshua, that wants to come.
Because we're many things, right?
Because we're many things. And he has a lot of respect for me. I have a lot of respect for him.
Nice.
The makeup artist, we're really good friends. Same, there's a lot of love and respect.
Yeah.
Phil was here as well, to my drag queen friend.
Nice.
Was there as well. Kat was there as well, who's my partner.
Yep.
And I was scared.
Yeah. Why were you scared?
I was afraid to let my body go into whatever form it needed to.
Yeah, you
shift
seem
to.
A little stiff in that picture.
And that was I was my feet were killing me then.
Oh.
When I show you the other pictures of when we were done, so I'm sitting in the chair, and I want to allow my body to loosen up.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid of what everyone around me is going to think.
What part?
Were to allow myself to sit in a posture that would put me into a more feminine headspace, like crossing the legs, something that I've never done, naturally just doesn't come. But the desire to do it was there and it was growing. And allowing my hands and my body just to shift.
Yeah.
From not being so tense, but softer.
Yeah.
And I was concerned about everyone watching me and
right.
judging me.
Right.
And I sat there for, the whole process took about 2 hours. I mean, we really went in it. But I spent about 30 to 45 minutes afraid.
Do you think they were, What do you think? What was the fear that they were going to judge you on, Justin?
Just that he's sitting more feminine. That.
Okay, so you were actually like worried about them perceiving you as more feminine.
As weaker because.
Okay. Okay.
Like almost like judging my character.
Yeah.
Or judging me, and I was afraid. Now I'm afraid because, and I'm surrounded by people who love me.
Right.
At that moment, I realize people deal with this shit every day.
Yeah.
Not by choice.
Yeah.
But because they have to.
Yeah.
And it minimized my fucking fear.
Yeah.
Because it's like, how can I, who speaks about fucking living how you're supposed to be yourself.
Right.
Regardless of the obstacles, fucking do it.
Right.
And I'm sitting here afraid.
Yeah.
And there's people who deal with this, suffer through this every day.
Right.
That pushed me over into the ability to start loosening up.
Yeah.
And I cried, you know, it was sad because there's pain out there that because of what our constructs are
right.
that aren't necessary. After doing this, I realize I'm powerful however I express myself.
Yeah.
The heels allow me to feel sexy. I never felt sexier in my life
nice.
Than when I was able to do that and allow my body to express what I feel is sexy about me.
Nice.
I saw myself in the mirror. I couldn't believe myself. It was like I was so beautiful to myself. And there's no reason why I shouldn't be doing this. Like, I can't, why can't I express this part of myself more regularly?
So let me ask you this. Like, now that you've done that, when you look in the mirror, can you still see that beauty, like, of yourself encompassing that identity, like, just as you are? Like, because you're here sitting in front of me right now, dressed very male presenting with painted nails.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's like an element where I'm seeing all of those things come out in you in subtle ways, but like, you know, without it being in full, you know, and I don't know if that's true, if you're feeling that more.
So the growth of this is experiencing the desire to not have to associate with either gender.
Yeah.
And just be.
Right.
Right. Then it makes you think, well, why the fuck do we have sections in stores?
Right.
You know, why do I have to shop in a specific section?
Right.
Why can't I go look over there because I want it? So I do it. Now I understand tailoring, different cuts, different body shapes. I understand that 100%. But one shouldn't be afraid to go and shop wherever they want to shop. We shouldn't even have to deal with that. When it comes to restrooms, It's about the person, not about the gender. You know, the predator is going to be a predator regardless of who they are,
right,
of whatever gender they are.
Of course.
They're going to be a predator.
And it's like usually heterosexual.
And yeah. and so then it's like, well, while I was in Pittsburgh, I was chatting with my friend out there and this topic came up.
Okay.
And, I was speaking about how I want to start incorporating more and more wear, feminine wear, expression wear, into my cycle, root clothing options, because I'm not going to just speak about it. I have to do it.
Right.
I have to do it for two reasons. One, it's I have to do that.
Yeah.
But two, days after I posted the pictures on Instagram, I got messages from people who follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And they were inspired to do subtle things.
Nice.
But to open those doors for themselves. So if I can have a platform to help somebody else see that it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, you're not the only one.
Nice.
I'll do it. You know, so it's a responsibility.
Have you gotten any backlash?
No. Yeah, actually, yes. I did, from a friend of mine.
Interesting.
And it was disheartening because she said, that's not what a real woman does.
Hmm. Right. So that goes back to the idea of these definitions of the and constructs like, of what it means to be
a
woman, right? You know, like genitalia does not make the gender. Like,
and it's like
kind of thing.
When I put that on, it wasn't. So people were asking me, what's your drag name? I'm like, there is no drag name, and there is no name. It's Joshua.
Right.
And this is how I'm going to be, regardless of how I dress.
I have, like, Felicia gave me this, like, really sexy little black dress, and I've always liked, so I'm not in love with makeup. Like, there's no lie. Like, I'm not in love with it for my female friends. I'm not in love with it for myself. That is gorgeous makeup, though. See, like, you're owning that.
But
in those pictures.
When I saw it, I felt it because it's very...
But, right.
And now, this is a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be able to commit to that because it's beautiful and gorgeous, but it's not...
Over time, it's also expensive. You can ask ask any of your female friends how expensive it is to wear makeup all the time, and they will surely enlighten you into the bill. Makeup ain't no joke.
No, I'm sure.
I mean, that's the thing. Is like you wear it. Like the only person who's ever done my makeup has been Felicia, and like. You know, she makes my eyes look pretty, and I like that. Like, it's nice. It's nice to, like...
To feel.
Yeah, but, like, I'm not... when I'm wearing makeup, I'm not associating that, like, with this idea of being a female. Like, I'm associating it with, for me, in this moment, it's making...
Being beautiful.
Making me feel and look beautiful, yep. Right? Like, I guess that's all... Like, I'm not trying to... I try to, like, cut a careful ground, especially as, like, a cis white male, like, of, like, you know, going on too much of this stuff. But, like, this has been a long journey for myself as well. And nothing has ever fit in a way that makes sense. I always say, like, just I'm queer in every way because, like, terminology is not working for me. Like,
yeah.
Gender queer, queer queer, whatever. Like, you know, I just don't want to be bound to those things anymore because it doesn't make sense to me anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I sometimes want to be in bed and I want to, like, yeah, I want to be made love to like a female. I don't know, like, you know, whatever terminology that other people need to, like, encapsulate what I, you know, but, like, I don't know what that means because it's still me. It's not, like, a female and I don't fuck like a male, you know? Like, I get fucked like Aaron and I fuck like Aaron, you know, or whatever, you know? I interact like who I am. Like, this really great guy in Brooklyn once, like, came over and we had, like, a really interesting evening of pot smoking and listening to reggae music and... Because it's Brooklyn. And he told me, like, afterwards, he's like, you encompass, like, all this great feminine and masculine energy. And, like, I thought it was, like, a really wonderful compliment. Like, apparently it wasn't his thing, but, like, it was definitely intriguing that he said it. And I really liked the way that it sounded when it came off of his lips. And I, you know, but, like, I don't like these ideas of masculinities. Like, I find it, like, a challenge because, like, even when we're talking about these, like, interactions, like, I think about, you know, like, there's always been this age-old kind of relationship between older queer people and younger queer people, mentorship, whatever, yes, sexual components to it, whatever, you know, like, you know, the newbies, like, coming out of college and the, like, older gay men at the bars having conversations, shooting the shit, whatever, you know, people trying to learn from each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like... And this like, kind of, like, all these roles that we play as the people we are in the world, right? Like, you are a person. You're not just Master Joshua or whatever, right? You know, you have your own identity and your own life to live as well as what you do and work with your clients, right? And that is something we've been, like, really trying to, like, talk about lately because, you know, people who work, we'll say for an umbrella term, work with people and work with, like, kind of helping other people, like, get through whatever they need to get through or achieve whatever they're looking for, you know, yeah. in a situation with somebody, like, you know, you can spend a lot of time doing that and forget to work on yourself. You know, we interviewed Siren, who is this amazing person from Australia who does all this great work in seminars and stuff, and, like, talks about, like, you know, making sure, like, workers take care of themselves, you know, yeah. You need to make sure you're doing stuff that's good for you and positive for you, and, you know, and, like, I started thinking about that and was, like, how important it is, like, I sometimes do forget to, like, engage in meaningful relationships outside of the other things that I'm doing for work, you know, and that is, you feel that after a while, because it's, like, I'm not doing everything I should,
yeah.
You know, and we do have to remember we play multiple roles. I'm only using that to comment again on, like, these ideas of gender, right? Like, you know, there's this theory called the lesbian continuum, and I talk about it all the time, but, like, you know, this idea that we are expected to fulfill many different roles in our life cycle, where we're brothers, we're lovers, we're, you know, whatever our profession is, we have all these things going on, and therefore putting one person in a box, even when, like, in terms of gender expression, like, sexuality, all of these things don't allow us to, like, fully encompass all the roles that we could be meant for in our life,
yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
You know, people get meaning from a lot of things, and for me, definitely people is one of them. Like, I don't know for myself what other purpose to have other than a sense of community while I'm living and breathing on this planet.
Yeah,
and
love the people around you.
Yeah.
keep the energy around, keep it positive, keep growing, keep the vibrations high.
Absolutely. So where can I ask a question? Has your partner been like very supportive of like all this journey?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. 100%. 100%. It's been supported by my entire leather family.
That's like great.
Everyone. So we ended up going out that evening and I felt beautiful. I felt gorgeous. I felt sexy.
Nice.
And it gave me confidence to be myself in that leather headspace, right, as Master Joshua, but
right,
Mistress Joshua, I guess you could say. And just walking out in public and being that way, I felt like I've never felt before. At the end of the night, we took pictures and we played with it a little bit more. The feminine energy was able to flow much more fluidly as I fell into myself.
So, you can feel yourself owning this energy as well as like a dominant energy within this energy.
Yeah, yeah. Because when I started speaking about it, a lot of people were thinking it would be forced feminization or
right,
humiliation,
which we were discussing like,
which,
off thing earlier.
Yeah, and it was like absolutely not.
So talk about that though, because you had made comments when we were talking earlier about that and that it is something that like in the gay community I definitely, you know, like I struggle when people are like, oh, treat me like a bitch, and you're like, what? Like,
yeah, yeah,
I have so many female friends, I can't like in good conscience.
No like, I think it's an evolution of cultural morals,
okay,
that we are experiencing before
sure
everyone else, the ahead of the power curve.
Yeah.
Understanding what it is and what it isn't, and knowing that we have to unlearn 2,000-3,000 years of culture.
Yeah.
As people.
Yeah.
And not as men or women, but as human beings. You know, hearing that terminology or thinking, so forced feminization, right?
Yeah. How do you navigate that?
I can't do it. Because to me, it's not humiliating. A woman is not humiliating.
Okay,
panties
so
are not humiliating.
So that is on your, like,
yeah,
like boundary list.
I can't do that because I don't, personally, as in a personal relationship, I can't do that.
Yep.
When it comes to role-playing with clients, we would discuss why we're there,
okay,
before we even do it.
Because some of the female doms do that as do
a force version, fem, yeah,
right.
And
how do they know? I'm shooting a bunch of questions at
you. Know,
but
and
now I'm fascinated.
And it's that's why I asked the question.
Yeah.
Because there are female dominants out there doing it. What does it say about their perspective of femininity?
Right.
Subconsciously, maybe. I mean, because there's professionals who do it, and then there's lifestyles who do it professionally as well.
Right.
But that's a question that runs across the entire board.
Right.
You know, if you're doing it, why are you doing it?
Right.
And sit with that question and think about it. You know,
right,
there's not a right or wrong answer, because, I mean, morally, from our topic discussion now, it could be construed as immoral or...
Well, so Felicia and I like often navigate this. So they're tough discussions. Like I usually don't like in my life, my don't do's are race play and like things that are like diminutive to women.
Yeah.
Like I don't like the idea of it. I can't get turned on by it. It's problematic to me politically. Therefore,
I'm on
it's
board.
Problematic to me sexually.
Yeah.
Or professionally or on any level, like, but you know, I do have like this challenge in my head that I much rather I'd much rather somebody be able to work with these individuals to get them out of this particular role play, or at least help them like encapsulate it into not being a female.
Yeah, to work on it.
To be like, if you have issues with your ideas of masculinity, we can like tease those out and we can exploit them and we can do whatever. But like, let's not make it about female identity.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but it's like, that's like asking. That's asking a lot of people who do this to take check. On that kind of task.
Yeah, within themselves. Now, that's why, that's the direction I take it.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you, why do you need this?
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me. Okay. And now, we're going to hit a wall because we're doing this for growth. Right. We're not just doing it for stimulation. Because these are clients, again, long-term clients. So these are aspects of their character that we're gonna discuss and approach and maybe change, maybe open their eyes to something more accepting or neutral or appreciative, you know, like I did with my, during that discussion I called my male sub who likes to be forced to wear women's panties, and this question just popped into my head in discussion when we were chatting, so I called my sub and I asked him, I go, well, why is it? And I told him to sit on the question because I want him to think about it.
Yeah.
I want him to question, like, what is it about it that makes it? And, you know, I think we both came to the understanding he was conditioned that culturally.
Right.
You know, how do you unlearn that?
Right. Yeah.
By observing the question, like breaking it down, seeing how you feel about certain aspects and then applying it to parts of your life. Like, he was really, his mom was his everything.
Mm.
So you take that role,
right,
and then you take the idea of forced feminizing, being less than, where do we make the comparison? And, or why don't we?
You know, it's funny. Like, on a lighter version of that, I had a female friend the other day. We were talking about, like, you know, kind of like 1950s gender norms and like, you know, she's like, oh, you know, she's a heterosexual woman and she's mad cool and she lives in New York and she's like, you know, somebody said, she's like, I always like kind of thought I was kind of butch, you know, and I was like, oh, you know, and I could see why she said that, but then she's like, you know, but somebody told me I'm actually like pretty femme, and I was like, well, you know, your butch is probably the new femme, you know, we started talking about, I'm like, no, you're not, like, you know, baking up the cookies, like, waiting for husband at the door, like, no, you know, like, what does that mean, right, to you, like, let's talk about it, like, you're closer to gender neutral, therefore, like,
you can be
whatever, right, like, you're, and, like, it's great that somebody still considers that feminine, I think that's unnecessary, but, like, I think that that's great, because it does mean that somebody who is, like, not subscribing to all of these, like, gender constructs for women, like, in these old-fashioned kind of ways, is, like, not having her, like, identity as a female questioned, right, because that's what happens, too, right, that's what happened, like, to try to, you know, dismantle the women's movement and everything, all this, like, baiting about lesbianism and, like, oh, it's a bunch of women who want to be men and they hate men and, you know, the feminazi term got, like, spread throughout and, like, all of a sudden, like, you know, oh, we couldn't pass the ERA. Wow, what do you figure? You know, women can't get equal rights, you know? Like, that's crazy, but that happens all the time and it was just playing on these kind of ideas of what it means to be a female. And if you're what? If you're independent, if you're asking for equality, then you're masculine now, right? Like, oh my God, you know? Like, I don't, like, it's the things I hate most about top and bottom identity and gay male culture. Like, you know, like what you like what but you, like,
why you know, do you and have it's to like,
associate it with
everyone,
these things?
Everyone in some degree is verse, everyone's a switch, everyone, it, all it is trust and relationships and finding the right people to feel comfortable and vulnerable. Right. That's all it is. But, you know, it's tough because we're not talking.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sorry that that misogyny worked so well on you that, like, you were able to thankfully admit that you were gay, but, like, still want nothing to do with any gay, quote-unquote, stereotypes, right? Yeah. Like, which have nothing to do, again, with being gay. There are tons of effeminate, heterosexual identifying men in the world, you know, like, this actually, the things they're talking about have nothing to do with femininity on any level, really. They're like affects of people, right? The way we speak, the whatever our main influences were at our psychosexual social development are like, what? That's how we're talking, right? It has nothing to do with anything else, you know? Like, I hate it. It's the worst part because it's, you're learning how, you're learning the dullest, most boring rules of attraction about people, right? It's like based on these very prepackaged concepts of male and female and like sexy and unsexy, right?
And instant gratification.
Yeah, right? There's no commitment to tantric sex anymore.
There's no investment.
No investment. No investment. Well, I definitely am happy that we're having this conversation. Like, I think the only way to kind of like get people talking and thinking about it, like, look, I'm all into sub-dom scene. I think there's a lot of release into it. Like, I just, like, I think we need to get out of that, like, connection to, like, female, like, like, being that. Like,
yeah, yeah. You know, it's totally not. I mean, when it comes to genders and DS, I'm a firm believer, again, everyone has a you fall on a spectrum of top and bottom, dom and sub, which vary between each person you meet.
Right.
You know, and even the most dominant person will have someone they're submissive to. There's someone out there that's going to be more dominant than you, and there's someone out there that will always be more submissive to you. You may never meet them.
Right.
But they're out there, you know, and it's just chemistry.
Yeah.
You know, there's just nothing you could do about it. It's just, you can fight it, and that's why you have marriages that fall apart, because the men aren't assuming, and this is a very general statement, but the men aren't understanding their submissive roles in the relationship. Because culture tells them they're supposed to be the dominant.
Right.
So they fight.
Right.
They fight themselves.
Right. They fight themselves because they think they're entitled to power.
To power, yeah. Right. That it's an equal platform. Anyway, so...
Well, it's a good thing. It's an important thing to mention because gender is all about power, right? These things were set up a very specific way.
Yeah.
So a very specific set of people could have a very specific amount of power over another set of people. If we don't mention that, we fail to understand the overarching idea of the gender construct. Like, that's why it's there, right?
Yeah.
If men couldn't subjugate women, what? Women were property at one point, right?
Yeah.
I mean...
It's crazy.
This evolution we're talking about is the evolution of, like, going from being archaic, fucking barbaric kind of civilization to being humane human people, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is not a big ask.
No. And it matters.
It certainly
it's
is
important.
A big fight, though, right?
Like, it's even important. If it's not. You know, when I was in the military, and again, I have to go to the gender identities for this.
Sure.
There were male Marines and female Marines.
Yep.
And there were female Marines that I would trust more in a fighting hole next to me than the male Marines, because it wasn't about gender, it's about character. You know, it's about how able-bodied and where your heart is.
Well said.
And, you know, if I've got to go and fight and die with someone, sure as shit, gender didn't matter. There was people that I would prefer.
Yeah.
And they came from all across the spectrum.
I had, like, another question, sorry, not to skip around, because you mentioned... female soldiers, I thought again about female doms, which is made me think about the males who are getting dominated and want the feminization by the female doms. Like, that's also gonna be a complicated like thing, right? If you're sitting there thinking that, like, being feminized is a subjugated role, like a sub role, but it's a female, like, doing it. Like, Is it believable, or are you still retaining your dominance in that because of what you're already thinking about feminization?
Yeah, I don't.
Not to do a whirlwind, but like
that's
I do have like a complicated roundabout is, because like I'm not saying you would know it consciously.
No. That's a tough one. I don't even know if that can be a conscious answer.
No, you're right. Right? Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's.
I should go on like an investigative road. I'm like always trying for that. I got to
that's
questions.
So funny. That's so no, but that's
no.
It's that
just to ponder. Nobody has to have any answer, but like, well, I ponder to think about that.
It's funny because you mentioned that, and I think of myself as a sexual submissive,
mm-hmm.
And I could see myself wearing.
What do you mean by sexual submissive?
Like to the top or to the dominant.
Okay.
I enjoy being dominated sexually, being told to do this,
got it.
Being told to perform certain things. And I could see myself wearing lingerie to feel sexy, but not submissive or less than.
Right.
It's because it makes me feel more desirable because the way it sleeks and form fits my body.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow. Yes, I know what you're talking about. No, I mean, literally was having this conversation, like a version of this conversation with a friend of mine the other night, because for all intents and purposes, I'm pretty sexually dominant. Like,
mm-hmm.
like people tend to gravitate towards me that are looking to like be given permission.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way to be, and just to be given permission to be themselves, whatever that means.
Yeah.
And I'm good at that. Cause
they come for the freedom.
Yeah. Well, and it's my freedom that none of it really bothers me within mm-hmm. reason.
Yeah.
Within reason and legality and all that jazz. But, you know, it's, I do have, because we keep talking about, we are many different people. And like, and it's not all of one or another for me, and it never has been, and I used to think it had to be, and it's why like all of these ideas of binaries in general I've always struggled with.
Yeah,
like to be all of something or anything just never made sense, because like I sit there thinking, well no, but like I'm curious, and if I do that, does it, like I felt that way about sexuality for the longest time. Like when I first came out, I thought I have to be even though I could no longer be, what is the term, a gold star gay, because I had already fucked that up. Like the idea was like, oh my goodness, like, you know, what I could certainly never go back. Like I'm all in, you know?
Yeah.
And I
like
just,
you were on one side of the fence or the other.
Yeah. And I failed at it immediately. Like immediately went through an identity crisis with it, because it was like, okay, this must mean I'm what? I'm confused.
Yeah.
I am just experimenting. Like that doesn't make any sense. Like,
wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was complicated, and it took me a long time to like kind of deprogram the, you know, sorry, the gay agenda,
which
I'll call at the time, like was the HRC agenda, which was a very respectability politics. We want everybody to look like this, because we're arguing that we should have equality based on the idea that we're just like heterosexual people. And okay, fine, some are.
And
what does that fucking mean?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Like, we have to eat and have houses, and some of us want to raise kids. Like, what? We're human beings? Oh, cool, great.
Yeah.
No, let's educate people on what queer culture is really like. That would have been
hardships.
Radical. So you actually understand it, like, in a way that would make sense. How we have no sex
education.
It's not
just a celebration.
Right.
There's a lot of mourning to go with it, too.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And, I mean, those are things that I really, you know, I just hope we start balancing in the conversations that we're having.
Well, it's like, you were speaking about consent and MAL, mm-hmm. and well, for this conversation, we'll call it gay culture.
Yeah.
And how those boundaries, those lines are blurred often, and they're taught to be acceptable because that's the culture.
Right.
Well, at what point do we start realizing if we want to be treated the same, if we want it to be treated equally and respectfully, we have to start holding ourselves at a higher standard or more accountable for our behavior, right? You can't just
Precisely.
Go grabbing me.
Right. Just because. No matter what the culture was, it no longer is.
Right.
You know, I've had to put my hands on someone at the Eagle for slapping a bottom's butt that I was flogging.
Oh, wow.
He was walked by and he just did it. And he laughed for a second. Then I grabbed him and we had a few choice words. And the bottom had no idea what happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, it. The person thought that was okay.
That's a fucking no-no. And
you don't do that.
Wow. You know? And, like, you're definitely, if you're touching somebody else's sub, like, you've broken all sorts of goddamn etiquette right there.
So, it's, you know, it's a culture that has to be, that has to mature with our demands, you know. If we want to be treated equally, if we want to be, why is it that we can't have deep meaning relationships and we have to rely on hookup culture to meet people? You know, it doesn't have to be. I got into a discussion with one of my leather brothers about gay culture. And I got into a discussion previously with a gentleman from the quote unquote old guard who said leather was about leather and sex. Mm-hmm. And that's all it's going to be. That's all it can ever be. Because if it's not, that's then it's not real.
It's like them telling us we can never have health care for all, right?
So I look at him, I go, well, that's not true.
Mm.
Because that's not how I live my leather life.
Truth.
And that's part of the culture that I encompass.
Yeah, this prescription for everybody. So, like, you know, the general unfortunate thing is, like, this idea that, like, it can't be sexy to, like, have a highly consent-based sexuality.
To discuss it.
And why not, though? Like, this is just a matter of us thinking about this.
Thinking about it.
If the goal is still sex or a sexual encounter.
Or enjoying each other.
Shouldn't it be even hotter, like,
to talk
if you have it figured out? And, like, wouldn't you avoid so many more disappointments if you had negotiated it beforehand rather than, like, doing it and realizing the chemistry was
and you learn so whatever. Much more about yourself, being able to speak about yourself openly.
Absolutely. Like, and be yourself. Like, that's what I say to every sexual partner I ever have. If in the space of being naked with you, if you can't be yourself, I can't be myself, right? We're not gonna have that energy that we need for this to be
that
truly fulfilling for
chemistry,
both of
yeah.
us, right? Like, if you can't relax and be yourself, and I realize that's a journey for some people, you know?
Oh, yeah, it's a journey for everyone. I mean,
but for me, that's either job work or that's like, you know, an intimate partner that we've established some sort of other level of, like, intimacy for, and we're going on that journey together. You know what I mean? Like, for my partners that, like, I want to have a good, like, ready to go kind of time with, like, that is what I try to figure out when I'm negotiating whether I'm having sex with them. How in your own skin are you?
Where are we gonna go
are
with
you,
this?
Right. Are you about to ask me if I'm masculine? Because we got a fucking problem right there.
I wanna know how far into the deep end we can go.
Yeah.
Comfortably.
Absolutely.
Because my intent isn't to push your boundaries.
Right.
My intent is to swim within your boundaries freely.
Absolutely.
And if we get to the edge, we see where the edge is, but I'm not swimming to the edge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to see what it's all about.
Well, and they, you know, the other person still has to be in control of their own boat, you know, to whatever degree, right? Like, you're not necessarily going to be, you know, like, some people are, like, seeking to be guided a little bit, which is fine, but you have to have a base understanding.
Enjoy yourself,
and, like, to be able to enjoy yourself, right? Like, that's all I want, man, because, like, I see so many people bummed out by their interactions. Like, look, hookup sex is hookup sex.
It's cool for what it is, but there's a point where you realize you need more from your investment. You're missing. You're empty. You're alone. You're not sharing your deeper thoughts with anyone.
And you don't get to evolve, right? If you have one-time sex partners, which, again, not knocking it, there's a lot of hot one-time encounters here and there that, like, you can luck out on. Absolutely.
And it's hot. I mean, shit.
Exactly. But, like, if you get to know, like, if you, like, I had sex.
The self-exploration. You can't explore yourself with strangers.
Exactly.
And it's really hard to do that safely.
Exactly.
And it's like, you know, people are always looking for partners and husbands and wives and this and that. And it's like, no, thank you. It's like, why don't you fuck your friends? Why don't you play? Yes. Why don't you play with people in your life who you trust?
This is gonna be Master Joshua. Why don't you fuck your friends?
Yeah.
Like, no, we said honestly, it was exactly what we were saying with my friends this weekend. Like, there is a comfortability like that you can develop. Like, it's not equal. Like, some of my friends are way more comfortable in their skin than others, but being around people that they trust, I've seen their evolution. Look, I'm a first naked all the time, and I know there's a lot of no nakeds, and like, you know, Felicia's talked about that a lot, like never naked, and like, I get all of that. Like, you know, these are sexual people that aren't necessarily comfortable in their own skin sometimes. Yeah. And
or even the comfort of.
And I get that.
Like, I'm the same way. I'll be naked and you can be dressed however you want to be. And I'm not thinking that way because it's not a thing.
Yeah. And I was lucky. I was definitely, you know, raised with the opposite of body shame. So, you know, kudos to my parents for never, like, shaming me around my body. Never shaming me about masturbation. Never shaming me about sex. All that stuff, really, really good. You know, you still have, unfortunately, the outside world that you have to contend with. That's why these conversations are not questions or not things
that they're not openly discussed.
The everyday, like, normie society can answer for those of us who are navigating these questions.
So, I let me finish with this. All right. So, and then I'm going to speak about my time in the government.
Oh, yes,
please. So, as time progressed, I tried different outfits, and I was feeling myself out. And one of my more centered feeling or skin or representation of myself was here. So I have those boots.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
There are some tights. I have a waist cincher with a leather shirt.
Uh-huh. I like it.
A harness and my cap.
So, wait, that's like a bodice? Like,
that's a waist cincher.
Waist cincher.
Yeah.
So I'm really bad with those terms, but yeah, okay.
Like a steel bones.
Yeah, like a corset. I'm sorry. So, yeah.
So,
it's a really hot one, by the way.
Oh, my goodness. So, I felt myself then. I felt as a dominant person.
Yeah.
Not anywhere, either or, right. Because the walk was very sensual, very sleek and sexy.
Yeah.
But in a feminine way.
Gotcha.
The control was not as... And I use the terms masculine and feminine because those are probably the easiest ways I can express it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
that's...
There's only so much you can, like...
neutralize it, equal it.
There's terminology that we need to use so people understand what we're talking about.
So, the dominance wasn't such a masculine dominance as if you're looking at me from my shoulders up. You know, I had some stubble. I had my leather cover.
Gotcha.
And my uniform with the harness. Yeah. So, the image is masculine.
Right.
But the body language, the movement, the energy exchange was very feminine.
Yeah.
And it feels natural that way.
Yeah.
I felt more natural that way than I do with a more masculine presence.
Interesting.
And it was the power of the draw, of that confidence of I'm going to touch you and you're going to respond to it a very specific way because that's what I want. And it was a real dominance that I, like, a power exchange with the person. Like, I love The Little Mermaid. I saw it three times on Broadway. I fucking love that movie.
Nice.
Ariel and...
Ursula.
Her...
Yeah.
Finesse. Her diva qualities.
Her wits, yes.
They were amazing.
Yeah.
You know, she had this draw to her was like a goddess. It was a goddess.
Absolutely.
And that was a huge influence to me.
And a demigoddess, if you
will. And that was a huge influence on me on what feminine energy is. I think that's the first time I've expressed that.
Oh, well, it was very well articulated. Like, I was, what was it? I was thinking of something that specifically you were saying, like, as you were, oh, right, Have you, I feel like I may have mentioned this person's name before. Have you heard of, I think it's Pat Khalifa? She was a, I think she still exists. I should have looked that up before I brought this up. But she's done a lot of writing about her experiences as a, she's a lesbian who started topping gay men for a living, essentially. And like, fisting them and like pegging them and doing like, you know, and she would, I believe she was also a dom, but I don't know if I remember that exactly, but she writes a lot about these things around gender, and because these stories are with gay men, it's a very intriguing like leveling of the gender card, right? Because like, that's not what this experience for them has nothing to do with gender. So it's essentially what she was writing about.
To speak on that, in the Kink Collective group that it's an organization, a group that I've created to open the doors for people looking for a community that is truly judge-free. Like,
yeah,
I don't care anything about you as long as you come here looking to contribute your time and dedication to growth,
right?
You're here with us.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah.
And as we've grown, three, four, five gay men have come in, and to watch their growth from, I'm a gay male and I'm in an unfamiliar situation.
Right.
Mixed gender.
Right.
But I'm speaking with people and I'm comfortable speaking with people on such an open level, it starts to not matter.
Right.
Now I'm speaking with people about kink and fetish and desires, and we're matching on a lot of things, but you're not a man and I'm not hetero.
Right.
But there's a chemistry here now.
Gotcha.
We have a relationship.
Yeah.
Then we start to play.
Yeah.
And the play develops into whatever it develops.
Whatever you negotiate with that person.
And these men have realized that sexual orientation isn't a thing. It's a thing we put on ourselves, yeah. But we can connect with people regardless of who they are.
Right.
So to see, and that's just an example of everyone.
But I think where people have trouble with this concept, and I think it's important to like, you know, pause it for a moment and talk about it, because there will be like gay men who will be like, sure, you know, like, I can see that, right? Like, you know, I feel like there's many a gay man who has had like a drunk story with their like female BFF on a night in Rome or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Not me. Now I have a friend who's gonna be like, wait, did we do something in Rome? No, I swear we did. Not that I remember, we didn't do anything in Rome or ever. But but like, just, you know, like this idea that like I said that earlier, like once you kind of like are okay with that, then you have to have the same level of everything with everyone.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's true. Like, you can have your...
Oh, no, I see what you mean. You know what I mean? 100%. Like, and it's not...
if I play or do these kind of, like, certain things with women...
Then
like,
it has to be all women.
Like, right, now do I need to fuck women?
Do I need to
be in relationships with women?
Yeah,
is this a slippery slope?
No.
You know, like...
I can totally
all puns intended, you know, like...
it's so not, you know, right. But we feel the pressures of needing to be in a relationship if we're going to engage intimately with someone.
I always said, like, Felicia and I always joke that, like, I've been the most sexual and non-sexual with Felicia more than any other person, like, female person in my life, just because the way we are comfortable around each other sexually, you know, like, you know, we're up here and here, like, camping, doing videos, like, completely comfortable around each other, like, and we're able to navigate, like, our own sexuality
yourselves
really well. And like, I've always been comfortable in that space around women, and like, it's been the one thing that sometimes, now don't get me wrong, like, I'm mostly talking about queer women or women who are comfortable in these spaces
in
as
spaces,
well, you know, not saying straight women can't be,
I know what you mean.
It has to, like, you know, that negotiation
there's an experience
has to be
there's an expression themselves,
right. And I think that those were the things where these integrating of spaces on this level is intimidating to some queer men especially. Because it's like, well,
what does that mean?
Is a straight woman going to be comfortable with me being comfortable with my sexuality in front of them? Like,
yeah.
I would imagine them looking for the first like look of disgust about some sort of queer behavior.
You know, and what's funny is everyone misses the point that you're going to talk to the people around you.
Sure.
You know, it's like, you're not going to, and again, this is for the spaces that I host.
Yeah.
You're going to come in and you're going to be spoken to like a person.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be objectified and you're not going to be asked about anything beyond who are you?
Right.
You know, I don't care about your orientation, gender, none of that.
Right.
I want to know who you are.
Yeah.
So then I can introduce you to other people who are of the same mind.
Right.
You know, because you, once you start talking to the people, you're comfortable.
Right.
And it's not taboo discussion anymore. Now it's just discussion.
Right.
So you can express yourself freely.
Right.
The gay men that I've come across that desire to be penetrated or topped by women, about half of them, maybe a little more, are attracted to the feminine, to women, right, dominant women, but they can't openly address it because it's going to question their sexuality.
Right.
Well, does that make me not gay? You know, right. if I'm a gay man, why do I have these desires?
Right.
So I do it secretly behind closed doors so my gay friends don't know. And then they can't question me.
It's like reverse closeting.
But it's like, why do we do it to
what
ourselves?
What would that concept even be? It like blows my mind a little bit. Like, yeah. Well, that's the boxes of like the identity trap, right?
Yeah, that's
like,
what we do to ourselves.
I, you know, like I know for myself, like as I age, I have, you know, my desires have changed and they've like morphed and like, you know, things aren't centered around gender as much as they are centered around, like, I don't know, like, I mean, honestly, like, things like worldview are important now. Things are like,
yeah, the person,
how you
are
to people in the world. And yes, like, what your sexual chemistry and energy is. Like, I mean, it's why, like, the women that I am friends with, most of them, I would be comfortable being naked with and around, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I would be perfectly comfortable with them being naked and sexual in front of me.
Like, or even naked without the intent of anything sexual.
Right.
It's,
yeah.
You just exist in my space.
Absolutely.
Because I care about
absolutely.
You.
I've been very fortunate. I've had like some fun experiments with that with my friend circles of like mixed sexualities and genders, mm-hmm, and everything about being like comfortable in front of each other naked in a non-sexual context,
because
like,
we're just existing. Like I do that a lot, you know.
Yeah.
If you're in my life, you're in my life because you accept me.
Yeah. See, I was going to suggest we should either do this like podcast naked or in dresses. Like, I was like, oh, you know, how comfortable could we like be for this podcast? It is like the screw after all. No, but like, I love that like we've been able to talk about these things. It's what I hope that other men, yes, even straight men, I hope are sitting down and like really, like, how important is this concept of gender to you? Like,
yeah.
Is it really, like, for straight men especially, is it really so important you want to alienate the objects of your desire to the point where you need to fight for the right to toxic masculinity so bad that...
To jump on that, I think when I was speaking with my friend out in Pittsburgh, and he said, he brought something up that goes on Twitter, or Femme Fridays within the gay community,
uh-huh,
where men are dressing up in lingerie.
Nice.
And he said it bothers him.
Oh.
Because it's, again, it's the whole gender thing.
Okay.
Of why does femme have to be women's underwear?
Sure.
You
sure.
Know, why is it even a thing? Why?
Sure.
Why are we championing this objectification? And it was like, I can understand that. You know, it's tough because what do we do? How do we navigate?
So that, to me, that's where you like start getting into like the too much of the respectability politics like,
mm-hmm,
aspect. Like, right, you can, I mean, I made the argument myself. I think, you know, gender neutrality would be healthier for everybody, and I think it should be absent of these things that have been defined as masculine and feminine for us.
Yeah.
However, They are there. The constructs have happened. They've been working on people for years and years and years. And I'll just put it in a working person's context. People's lives are stressed and shitty. And sometimes their fetishes bring them a lot of escape and enjoy. And like, I don't know, fuck you. I'm not like ready to take that away from anybody for like a thing that doesn't necessarily have to be anti-feminist on level. Like, this is a product many women wear. These men are wearing it because it makes them feel in touch with whatever. It makes them feel sexy. It makes them feel themselves. Whatever the point is you should get to define that for yourself. There shouldn't be a guard defining that for everybody else.
Yeah.
Like, whatever it is, whether it's around gender or sexuality, let us fucking define. Even these relations, we always say that, right? You're a pansexual person, like you have, like, you know, a non-traditional life by the normative society's like standards, and like one has to kind of like push back on those definitions like every day and like fight for that to be an okay thing. Healthy and happy and fulfilling thing. Not because it's not, but because the outside influences are constantly battering at you trying to tell you, no, like, it's this, or it's this, or it should be this.
Yeah.
And you're like, relationships should be defined by the people who are in them.
Yeah.
Right? That is consent, right? Not just sexual consent, life consent. Like, you should be getting in and you should be navigating together. Don't let the man navigate your relationship for you, tell you what it should look like.
Yeah.
You have a choice. Free will. Love it or hate it.
That's what we have it for.
Yeah, you should put it to good use and for good use. Like, I really hope we get there. I mean, I think it's a really interesting, because of your platform and the community that you operate in, and because of its touch, heavy touch to queer men and gay men and men in general, that this conversation is like really important, and I hope people are thinking about it more. Like, and I know Felicia will have a thing or two to say about it, I'm sure, and I look forward. I don't think we can have any perspective about these things without, you know, bringing women to the table.
Yeah, it's very important, you know, and it's a topic everyone should be discussing.
Yeah. I mean, what I hear a lot in the kind of like the narrative that's like rallying against, I don't know what the fuck, I mean, it's probably a fake rallying against, but just this idea that like, what are straight men supposed to do now? What are men supposed to do now? Everybody's being Me Too'd. Like, how, you know, these people are sitting here thinking, like, there is no fun sex anymore.
Just
right?
Learn to care. Learn to care and communicate.
Yeah. I mean, that is a really, like, what people, the things that you find hot should be things that involve another person also wanting them.
I think
is the general basis. And you do need to work on, again, a scene is a scene. I'm like, you know, we never try to take away anybody's kink. The worst thing I think we can do around people who have certain kind of scenes, like the panties or whatever, is just, like, start shaming them. Nothing like, yeah. I feel like, helps somebody double down on like something more than being shamed.
Yeah, no.
They bring it further into the closet. Yeah.
If anything, it's just to ask a question. You know, think about that.
Yeah.
What is it? What does it mean to you? Like, I like to wear thigh high boots. Why? Because it makes me feel sexy.
Yeah.
Well, think about those reasons on why you desire to be dressed.
Right.
You know, I like to wear a thong because it makes me feel slutty.
Right.
You know, but address it, you know, yeah. Speak it and make it your truth and make it okay.
Absolutely. Any final parting words for listeners? Anything you want them to know?
You know, just find your value. Learn who you are and share it with people who understand and appreciate it. You know, invest into people who are investing into you.
Nice. Very nice.
And Spider-Man, multiverse movie. Did you see it?
I've been hearing all about this.
Oh my god, watch that movie.
The soundtrack.
That movie's amazing.
The movie, like all of my all my favorite superhero fan geeks.
I've been all about this. Spider-Man, you have to see it in a large format. So I'm gonna let you in on a little secret. Back in the 90s, speed, awesome 90s movie.
Shoot the hostage with the bus
and Keanu Reeves. Shoot the hostage.
Yeah.
I saw that movie 7 times in theater.
That was a very popular movie.
It was a popular movie. There was a $2 movie theater over in 50th Street,
nice.
Where the Worldwide Cinema Theater is now. And I saw it 7 times. I knew the whole thing front to back. So last year, the movie called The Quiet Place came out.
Okay.
Which was an awesome thriller, like a horror movie.
I didn't see that
one. Oh my God, it was phenomenal. I saw it 5 times in theaters.
Nice.
Because it's one of those movies you have to have amazing sound and a big screen and scare the shit out of yourself.
That's awesome.
So while I was there, I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm going to break my speed record with this movie. it didn't happen. I missed it by 2 movies. Then Spider-Man came out. And that movie dropped my jaw. Like, I love that movie immediately.
This is the multiverse, the animated
one. The animated one. It is so incredible.
Okay, what? I don't want to give spoilers.
I'm not going to give any spoilers.
This is amazing.
I saw it 7 more times with people because I needed to show people how amazing this movie was.
Jesus.
And every time I watched it, I was seeing new things.
You're sure you're not in that theater giving handies or something? That's like, how many total times?
8 times. So I broke my speed movie record. With an amazing movie that was totally worth the time.
So that is like your movie recommendation.
That fucking movie is one of my top movies ever. Nice. It's one of the best Marvel movies to date. Okay.
And what are your parties?
Decadence. Right. So Decadence is Impulse, which is the 4th Friday of the month.
Yes.
And Corrosion, which is the all-male identifying BDSM play party, the 1st Saturday of the month.
I'm going to try to make this month.
That's this Saturday.
Yes. I haven't. I actually put it in my calendar.
Oh, fantastic! Time. Fantastic. So,
you know, if my poor ass can scrape together the cash, I am there.
We also do a lifestyle discussion group, which is topic driven.
And where is that? Is that at Decadence?
That's at Decadence as well. That's on the 3rd Thursdays of the month.
And what goes on at those meetings?
We ask general questions, and people contribute. They ask. They answer questions. They ask other people questions.
Nice.
It's an open forum discussion that everyone can participate in. After that, there's a play party from 8 to 11.
Okay. And what people always ask me for any of these things, can you not participate if you want to not participate?
Anything I host under the Kink Collective banner or anything associated with me in any degree, you can always show up and just be a fly on the wall and never have to engage with anyone on any level.
Sweet.
You never feel pressured. The idea behind the events that I host is, and Decadence hosts, the first 45 minutes is a social period where everything's closed.
Yeah.
Because we want people to talk and get familiar with the people around you, friendly.
Nice.
Not in a pickup type of culture, but in a socializing.
Yeah.
Being comfortable in your surroundings and making friends.
Got it.
Because you need a social network. After that 45-minute period, we give a safety briefing. We go over the rules, the do's, the do-nots.
Nice.
And then we open the floor.
Nice.
We make sure we meet everyone that comes in the door genuinely, not just a handshake and a thanks for coming.
Yeah, I talked about that on one of our podcasts. You guys were very good at, coming in. And, there was a nice, unity amongst the people working at Decadence to, take the effort to talk to people that were there, that especially were new. And that was really great.
Yeah, it matters. You know, this is an important part of your life.
Yeah.
And we're facilitating it.
Right.
So I want to do it right because we all deserve an opportunity to find ourselves, to be ourselves.
Absolutely.
So it's my responsibility to make that happen.
Absolutely. And where can people find you if they're interested in you and your services?
On social media, it'll be Master Joshua NYC under Instagram and Twitter. On Facebook is Master Joshua. On FetLife, it's Master Joshua NYC as well. As well as my website, MasterJoshua.com.
Boom, boom, boom. Awesome. Well, thank you for coming
thank
and talking
you so
to me
much.
About this important topic.
I hope we can do this again.
Absolutely. Again and again.